to start by, what is your name and your role in the bookstore?
My name is Bob Schertz, and I am the owner and the only person here. So I guess I'm everything else, too. The CEO, the manager, the janitor. Anything that happens here is pretty much my doing.
Okay. And did you also make the name for the store? You started it?
Well, no. It started in 1976, a block from here, and a JMU student started it. His name was David Lang, and he called it Lang's Bookshelf. And they carried paperbacks and magazines and cigarettes and gum. And after a year, he graduated and decided to leave town. So one day I walked into Lang's Bookshelf, and his wife was working, and she asked me if I wanted to buy the store, just out of the blue. So I laughed in her face and actually moved away. I went to Winston-Salem for 4 months. And then 4 months later, I came back to Harrisonburg to visit and walked back into Lang's Bookshelf, and she was still sitting there, and I said, okay, I'll buy the store. So I was a special ed major, had no business experience, no marketing experience, no math experience. For my math requirement in college, I took the history of math. So that's how I took over. And that was in 1978. And then in the early 80s, it moved from where it was a block from here over to here. We actually got evicted.
Oh, okay.
Because somebody bought the building, and I mean, we didn't do anything like have wild parties and say, okay, you got to go. That's how we ended up here, and we've been here since then.
Okay.
But when it moved here, some other people took over. And they didn't, it wasn't really their cup of tea either. And I hadn't left town. So they contacted me and said, if you don't buy the store back, we're going to shut it down. And I said, well, don't do that. So.
Oh, my goodness. So you've worked here for how long then?
Well, since 78 minus 1 year. 78, 88, 98. Almost 40 years.
Oh, wow. It's a long time.
It is a long time.
So what inspired you to invest in owning a bookstore?
Well, I liked to read as a kid, and, I hung out in bookstores, but I never really thought about owning one until I actually, like I say, she said, do you want to own the store? And or do you want to buy the store? And when I moved to Wake Forest, a buddy of mine from high school had come through town with this idea of taking over a record store in North Carolina. So we moved down there and waited and waited, and the guy decided not to sell. So I was jobless and thought, well, I mean, I taught school for 1 year, and I'd worked at a 7-Eleven after graduating from college, so not really an illustrious pedigree. So I thought, well, I'll give it a try.
Okay.
But yeah, it wasn't like my plan growing up.
Really? So this is your first bookstore you've ever worked in?
I had never worked in one. I mean, the only retail sales experience I had was putting boxes of Slim Jims on the counter at 7-Eleven.
Oh, my gosh. So what's your favorite genre?
Well, now it's probably murder mysteries, but it's changed over the years. I mean, when I was a kid, I started out with mysteries with Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew, and then read a lot of science fiction, and then read a lot of general fiction, college.
So you did, like, a lot of extra reading outside, just like...
Yeah, the most reading I ever did, one summer in college, I was working in a parking lot, and I was in a little booth, actually smaller than this area here, uh-huh. And a car would drive up, and I'd give them a ticket, and the car would drive out, and I'd collect the money, and, it was a pretty boring job. And I averaged a book a day that summer. I read
a book
a day. And
how long were the books?
They weren't like War and Peace or anything.
Yeah.
But, a bunch of science fiction novels and a lot of Vonnegut. Probably read all of Kurt Vonnegut that summer, all that had been published at that point. Do you know who Kurt Vonnegut is? No. Okay. Well, he was a big name at the time.
Really? Okay, so... What are your thoughts when asked what particular place, what are your thoughts when asked, how has your bookstore influenced the city of Harrisonburg?
Well, when it opened over there, it was the only non-Christian bookstore in town, Lang's Bookshelf. There was a place called Valley Books, which was a Mennonite bookstore. And right after Lang's opened, Valley Mall opened, and there was a B. Dalton bookseller. So it was the only bookstore in town for a while. And now B. Dalton's has gone out of business. Of course, now we have Barnes & Noble and Books A Million. But, I'm sorry, how did it influence...
How did it influence the town of...
I don't know. I mean, people love to come in here and say, "Oh, an independent bookstore." Oh, you know, they come in. Sometimes people come in, take a deep breath, and go, "Oh, I just love the smell of books." I think just the concept of a bookstore means a lot to a lot of people, even people who don't buy books or maybe don't even read that much. You know, it's just a comforting feeling for people to know that there's, you know, a place
to get their books.
Yeah. And when we started, we were mostly new books, the used book. We became all used just about 5 or 6 years ago. So.
And how do you get the used books? People just come and bring them in?
People bring them in. I'll come to work some mornings and there'll be boxes piled at the door, like little abandoned babies. You know, people call up and say, "Oh, my aunt just died and she has a house full of books," and they'll bring them down. And I mean, I put a lot of stuff out for free because a lot of stuff comes in pretty ratty condition, but it's still perfectly readable.
Yeah.
I just buy stuff that people bring in. Not too often do I go out and actually have to
look for books.
Yeah. Well, I've never even looked for them, but sometimes people can't bring them in, and I'll go pick them up.
Them.
Yeah.
And what's like the rarest book you've ever gotten?
I don't know. Since I have a computer, if I get a book I'm not familiar with, I'll look it up and see what people are selling it for online. And some old math books have probably been the most expensive ones that have come through, which is surprising to me. I mean, I wouldn't think they'd be worth anything.
Yeah.
But
and how much do they normally?
Sometimes 100, 150 bucks. But you know, books listed online, you know, sometimes there can be one listed for a penny, and then somebody's listing it for $1,500, so, you know, it's kind of hard to gauge, but if you look at 2 or 3 different sites, you can get an idea if something's actually really valuable or not.
Yeah.
But before I had the computer, you know, I was just putting free books out left and right, and who knows, maybe I gave away, you know, a $20,000 copy of some book that I was just unaware of.
Oh, no.
But nobody's come back and said, "Hey, you know that book you put out?
I'm
on Easy Street because of that." So maybe I didn't do that. Who knows?
Is there like a particular book that people have asked for over and over? Or?
Over the years, I mean, people, you know, during the Harry Potter craze, everybody was looking for those. And Stephen King is usually a good bet. You know, not a week will go by where somebody won't come in looking for Stephen King.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on the year or the what's trendy.
Yeah.
You know, the classics like On the Road and To Kill a Mockingbird, you know, people look for those, Gone with the Wind.
Yeah. So like the classics is kind of like
the classics are pretty steady requests.
Okay.
Especially in a college town with, you know, English, you know, English assignments.
Uh-huh.
In high school, too. I mean, Catcher in the Rye, that gets requested a lot. And now that I don't carry new books, a lot of times I don't have any of those because I don't have used copies of them. So it's kind of been a strange shift from, you know, having those all the time to somebody coming in and saying, "Do you have To Kill a Mockingbird?" And I say, "No." Or you'd expect any bookstore to have that. But, you know, that's the price of not carrying new books is you don't
have
any control over what you have. But it kind of reflects the community more. I mean, you know, the stuff that comes in is pretty specific to the community. I mean, and that it's from people that live here.
Yeah.
You know, so But, you know, I've been doing this so long, I kind of have a good feel for the tastes, the reading tastes of, you know,
the people my clientele. Around
you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Although that's changing, too, you know. I mean,
it is.
Yeah, I mean, well,
Do you think it's because of, like, the Kindle coming out?
I don't think that's changed people's tastes, really.
But like, how often people, like, come in here? Do you think, like, the Kindle coming out has, like, dropped your sales at all? Or?
Probably. I would guess so. I mean, a lot of my loyal customers come in and tell me that they're reading one. They still come in, but they say, yeah. Well, I've got a Kindle now, so that's why I'm not buying any more books. And then they'll end up buying. I mean, book people usually, even if they have a Kindle, if they come in and see a book they want, they'll go ahead and buy it, especially if it's a cheap, used copy.
Yeah.
You know, because there's some about having an actual book, but, you know, most people, or a lot of people still prefer that over a Kindle.
So although, a lot of the people, like, around here, you think, prefer that?
I don't know if that's specific to this area, but I think overall that, you know, especially older readers, yeah. You know, don't like reading off a newfangled machine, you know, with a light streaming out of it, and it's probably scanning your irises and feeding you insidious information from Big Brother. You know, there's that, that group out there.
Okay, so you guys don't sell e-books?
Then. No.
Okay.
No.
What have you done to market your bookstore when competing against, like, the larger retail stores around here, like Barnes & Noble's and the other ones that you mentioned?
Well, I've pretty much just conceded the new book market to them. You know, I kind of stopped carrying new books because, you know, you go into even a grocery store now and all the bestsellers will be 40% off, mm-hmm. which is what I would buy them for from my distributor.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it just got to the point where I thought, well, you know, let them fight it out, Barnes & Noble and Books A Million and Kroger and whoever else. And I'll just go to all used books, which is what we did. And we have other stuff, too. You know, we have a lot of movies and music, and I've gotten a ton of comic books over the last 10 years, and they've done well. So we've just kind of drifted off from being a regular bookstore to whatever we are now, which is, I guess, a neat niche or a bookstore.
Yeah.
You know, we've just kind of like we've just morphed as we've gone along the way, trying to keep our head above the water. You know, like you throw a beach ball out in the ocean and just keep bobbing along and you're not sure where it'll end up.
Yeah. So you've kind of like found out what people like and don't like and kind of just go along.
Yeah, yeah.
And change the story like accordingly.
Well, yeah, but that makes it sound like I actually change it, but it actually changes by what people bring in now, you know. I mean, if I had my way, I'd probably carry a lot more Westerns, which I always sell out of, and Civil War books, which I never have enough of. Not that I have any interest in those, but, you know, people ask for those all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is a big area. And I think a lot of tourists come in and think they're going to find, you know, some stronghold of, you know, valuable books that people around here wouldn't know anything about.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen too often. Because, you know, certain genres they pick pretty clean. And Civil War is definitely one of them.
Okay. Are there any experiences that have encouraged you as a bookstore owner?
Well, I guess there, if I'm still here after 40 years. I guess I've had enough positive reinforcement or encouragement over the years. I mean, it's nice when people come in and say, you know, thanks for the book. You know, even somebody that doesn't buy anything, they'll stick their head in the door because they'll grab a book off the table, free table.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, that makes you feel good, you know. And you know, a lot of people come in and say, we're glad you're still here and don't go out of business. And, you know, that makes you feel good.
Yeah. And in what ways have you grown by owning your particular, or I guess not owning, but kind of working on your own with this particular bookstore?
Well, I haven't had to get a job. I don't know if that's growth.
Do you get to pick your own hours, or?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm open 9 to 6, so except Sunday. So I could change them, I guess, if I wanted to. But I don't know. I mean, I feel comfortable here. I can't imagine. I mean, people come in and say, "Oh, when are you going to retire?" And other people come in and say, "Oh, this is the kind of job I like when I retire." So in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, maybe I have retired.
Yeah.
Just not aware of it yet.
Yeah. How many, like, do you have any other sister bookstores?
No. My wife and I keep horses at home, so we have 15 horses that we take care of. Wow. So I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and feed horses and do all that stuff before I come here. So to think I'd have some other store. Yeah. I would.
So it kind of makes this place unique. It's like its own.
Yeah, well, some mornings when I come to work, it's kind of like, you know, getting off work because, you know, I'll be out, you know, doing the horses, and I just come in here and sit for a while. So, yeah, I guess I was saying it's hard to imagine not coming in here because I've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you can see from the stacks of stuff, there's always plenty of books to sort through.
Yeah.
And this guy came in yesterday with 5 boxes, some guy I'd never seen before, and had a lot of, well, Hemingway. I'm sure you've heard of Hemingway.
Yes. And
maybe not Vonnegut, but you've heard of Hemingway. Just a lot of old classics that, you know. And it's fun to, you know, see a book you read 30, 35 years ago and know that, you know, you can put it out for somebody else to experience. Yeah, it's pretty fulfilling that way.
Yeah. Do most of the people who, like, drop off books, are they from Harrisonburg, or?
I don't know where this guy was from.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, he just said, do you buy books? And I said, yeah. And he just happened to have 5 boxes in the back of his truck.
Oh, wow.
But people call all the time and ask if I buy books, and I say, yeah, we're not paying a lot because I have so many. And, you know, sometimes they'll say, well, I'm just trying to get rid of them, or they're taking too much space, or,
yeah.
You know, I mean, and there are other places in town that take books, but a lot of places just recycle them, which is good.
Yeah.
But it's not good for the book, you know, that's kind of the end of the book, so if somebody wants to read it after it gets recycled.
Yeah.
You know, of course they can get it elsewhere, but, you know, I like to give them one more chance when they come in here.
Yeah.
You know, even if they have loose pages or something, I'll put rubber bands around them.
So you buy, like, pretty much any book?
Yeah, we never turn anything away. You know, my wife says, just tell these people no, because sometimes the overflow ends up in our dining room, which isn't a real good situation.
Yeah.
Especially with Thanksgiving coming up real quick. Okay. That reminded me, I need to clean out the dining room.
Do you, like, organize them in a specific way?
I've got a few clusters of romance and westerns, but there's so many odd shapes and sizes. And when I first moved here, I was, like I say, I was selling mostly new books, and I was just selling this size paperback. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm getting, you know, big hardcover and coffee table books, and I don't have shelf space for it, I've ended up with a lot of random stacks.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of the sections of the store are just sort of haphazard. But they're stacked neatly.
Yes, they are.
And, you know, some browsers like that, and other people come in and say, do you have a political science section? And I go, not really. And, you know, sometimes they'll stay and poke around. Sometimes they'll say, well, thanks anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some people want a specific book, and they can always ask me, because I have a pretty good idea of what's in here. Although, I wouldn't say it's 100% accurate.
Okay.
But, you know. And if they want something that specific, they can just go online and order it.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, I mean, the online stuff is really, yeah, I mean, it's eroded a lot of, I mean, CD business is gone, you know, movie rental business is gone, you know, that's all because of the internet and the Netflix and all that stuff.
Yeah. Has it made it, like, a lot harder for...
Well, movies, I still sell VHS tapes, and I sell a lot of those. Because some people still have, you know, VCRs. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah. I
you still sell those?
In here. Yeah. I'm one of the few places I think still buying them. But yeah, people come in and buy those by the bagful sometimes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they still have an old VCR. And, you know, they're cheap. It's a cheap way to watch movies.
Yeah. Are you the only one in this community who
Goodwill and, you know, places like that still
sell VCRs?
Well, not the machines, or but like the tapes. Yeah. And I have DVDs and CDs. But CDs have really, really slowed down. I guess everybody's just, you know, plucking it out of thin air and putting it on there. I'm not sure what's going on. I still buy a CD. I still listen to CDs. Of course, I still have a little transistor radio I listen to at home. So.
Oh, okay.
I'm not exactly cutting edge. But we're still here.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for...